Hello and welcome to NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Car Talk Plaza Department of Joke Dissemination and Folklore.
Yeah, isn't it an interesting place? Have you
I want to know who
here?
Lettered that sign, man. It must have taken him a week.
I want to go to the Department of Redundancy Department. Where is that?
You know, we tend to have running jokes on the show that after a while, no one but my brother knows why they're funny.
Even so, I don't know.
So we opened this new division to disseminate these so-called jokes, and we have one here. You ready?
Yeah.
Dear Click and Clack Tappet, spelled incorrectly, T-A-P-I-T, but we talked about that once already.
Tap
so,
in. Boink.
Dear Tom and Rick. He goes on and on. I'll get to the important parts. Also, I have a question for you to disseminate. Who is Sandra Henning? And what are you doing with her tutu?
Who is Sandra Henning? We do on occasion.
Who is Sandra Henning?
We do on occasion say, well, Sonia Henning's tutu.
It's not unlike saying Jiminy Cricket.
It isn't? It's... Who's Jiminy Cricket? Who said Sonia Henning's tutu originally?
I think Sonia Henning's tutu was that expression why I first heard from Pat Harrington.
Really?
Pat, don't
tell me Pat Harrington was Roy Rogers' sidekick.
No.
Talk about obfuscation. Sonia Henning. I know everyone knows who Sonia Henning.
Sonia Henning was an Olympic skater who achieved considerable renown from her native, wherever she was from, Finland, Sweden, one of those
Nordic
Norway,
countries.
Norway. I think it was Norga. Anyway, she was up there in the great frozen north.
And she made a lot of movies, like in the 40s?
Well, she won a skating Olympic, and she wore what? She won an Olympic gold medal for skating, and she wore what? A tutu.
Of course, all skaters wear tutus.
So if you were to invoke some Vedic god, you would be better off calling out Sonia Henning.
Well, Sonia Henning's tutu.
Right, I think so. I don't know. Well, but I first heard...
Well, I would make it be, well, I never. That's how I think of it. Well, I never. Archie Goodwin
you
said
you don't?
That. Oh, Sonia Henning's tutu.
It's like holy cow.
Yeah. Can we take a call? 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Charles Lang from Denver.
Hi, Charles. What's up?
Who's Click and who's Clack?
Yes, that's correct.
He is.
Okay.
He's both.
I live in Denver, and we have a Colorado Clean Air program here, and we have emission testings for our cars. And when I took my 1982 Mazda GLC in, has 110,000 miles. To get in, it failed the emission test.
Oh.
So they said...
The only way they could make it pass the test was to adjust the carburetor, and the only way they could do that was to take it apart. And the only way they could do that was tear it all apart, and then they suggested it be rebuilt. And so I suggested, let's go ahead and do a tune-up on it as well. I spent $250, and it ran worse than it's ever run before.
But it passed the test, right?
Yeah, but it passed the test.
What do you want, everything? Come on.
When you say it runs worse.
It stutters. Like when I come to a stoplight it and get ready to start, sometimes when I step on the gas, it just dies. Because the idle on it just seems to be going up and down, you know, it just seems to stutter.
Oh.
Idle surges. It doesn't remain at a constant.
It surges, right.
Okay, have you headed back to them? Were these the same guys that did the test?
Yes. Now, I've taken it back to them three times. They've been really nice about wanting to fix it. They haven't charged me anything yet. The next thing they suggested was taking it into a carburetor expert and having them x-ray it or something to see if there's a crack in the carburetor.
Oh, yeah, we do that all the time. I have to go to my dentist to have them do it. What I do is every time I make an appointment, I get my teeth cleaned every 3 months. I bring in like 7 or 8 carburetors.
You know, and while they're cleaning the teeth.
Well, I sneak them in. What I do is I put one in my mouth. So while he's doing those molars in the back.
He says, hey, you know, you got a big crack in that, that GLC ball. Carburetor.
No,
that's bogus.
Yeah, I think the cracks are in the logic.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what they did, here's my guess as to what they did. You were probably failing, I'm going to guess that you were failing the carbon monoxide part of the test.
Okay.
Okay, that's just a guess. I mean, probably wrong like most of my other guesses. But they took the carburetor part and they knocked out what's called the concealment plug.
There's a plug. Knocked out the concealment plug.
Which is concealed from the average consumer.
You know, the concealment plug conceals the mixture screw, which is the screw that you used to be able to adjust back in the good old days.
The good old days when a screwdriver was all you needed.
And you could take a car, even like my brother's car, and actually get it to run well by turning those screws one way or the other. And those screws, or in this case just one screw, actually adjust the idle mixture, that is the amount of fuel going in when the car is running at idle speed.
Okay.
Okay, and that determines, in fact, what the emissions readout is, because they can diminish the amount of fuel. If you put in too little fuel, it actually throws off the emissions also.
I think the problem might be even more simple than that, because what you describe of the idle surging and also not having enough pickup and stuttering when you take off,
right,
could be something as easy as a vacuum leak.
Right, they could have.
It's possible. This is stupid, but it happens. If they
he always says that.
If they put the carburetor back and they didn't tighten it up.
Or they left the vacuum hose off.
Or they left the hose off. I mean, it's possible, you know, you put on all the bolts and you forget one. And it's not tightened all the way. That would make it do exactly what you describe.
Mm-hmm.
So
then that would be what would cause them to think that there's a crack in the carburetor.
Exactly, because there is a crack. The crack that's there is the crack that they made by not tightening something up. It is acting like there's a crack. But if there wasn't a crack before,
how did it run before, Charles?
It ran great.
It ran lousy, just like it runs now.
It ran great, but it wouldn't pass the test.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't know how bad the test results were.
No.
You didn't want to know.
Well, I don't care. I just wanted it fixed.
Yeah.
I didn't want to spend $250 to have it run worse.
Well, I mean, I think it's noble of them to offer to continue to work on it. And I would just suggest to them the things that we've just talked about.
Okay.
And
yeah, tell them to at least get it to run the way it did when you came in. And then suggest to them that what you really needed was probably a new catalytic converter. With 100-odd thousand miles on it, the reason it doesn't pass the emissions test is the converter's probably all plugged up.
Yeah, the carburetor might have been fine to begin with.
Okay, now, are there any other hoses that are associated in the somewhere else around the motor that might affect it, or is it just hoses that might be connected directly to the carburetor?
Well, to the carburetor and the intake manifold. I mean, they could have knocked off any one of those hoses.
Uh-huh.
You know, so.
I mean, the easiest way to find out if, in fact, it has a vacuum leak is when it's running real lousy and it's surging up and down, you put your hands over the top of the carburetor and cut
kind
off.
Kind of like a laying on of the
yeah,
hands.
Yeah, the laying
know.
On of hands.
And that's going to heal it.
That will heal it, because suddenly everything will smooth out and everything will become obvious.
But you have to know the incantation, Charles, and I think it's...
I can give it to you right now.
$500, $500.
boat payment.
Tell them to take another shot at it. And then bring it to these guys for the X-ray and the CAT scan.
Yeah, take it to your dentist.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
I enjoy you guys all the time.
Good luck, Charles. I don't think you have a big problem here.
I hope not. Thanks
no, you're all set. Nothing that $1,000 won't fit.
Send me the bill.
We will. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Let's give them the 20% discount. Send them a bill for $800.
1-800-332-9287.
You know, one day in my dreams, I dreamed that I couldn't remember the 800
number. When does one
number.
Use the word dreamed, and when does one use the word dreamt? I mean, what are the rules?
Woof!
I mean, why didn't you say I dreamt?
Well, I saw a
is
great...
Is that the remote past? Whereas
dreamed
is... Would you say I dreamt?
I think in that case, I know we're going to get a lot of mail on this, but I would say, and I personally use both of those words interchangeably. I use the word dreamt when I want to feel a little bit
theatrical
and a little bit more
dramatic.
That's it. Right. And when I just want to tell somebody what happened, I say, you know what I dreamed about last night? I had this dreamt last night.
That you forgot the 800 number.
But I've been arguing with my kids about the fact that grammar, as everyone knows, we're into grammar, right? In fact, I have a couple of great letters here having to do with grammar. Honey, I shrunk the kids? Bull!
I shrunk the bull.
Honey, I shrank the kids.
Well, it's funny you should...
Shrink, shrank, shrunk. You might say, honey, I have shrunk the kids. But you don't say, honey, I shrunk the kids. It's
actually,
like saying, I drunk the water.
Honey, I shot the kids. Would have
been honey, I lost the kids and I don't care.
Guess what? The Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor CarMax and the Love Your Car Guarantee. Car buying can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be that way. CarMax gives you the time you need to make the right choice. Take up to 24 hours for your test drive, and once you buy, enjoy a 30-day money-back guarantee up to 1,500 miles. Learn more and start shopping at CarMax.com. The new Love Your Car Guarantee from CarMax. Car buying reimagined. We usually give the answer to last week's puzzler right about now.
So give it.
Well, there wasn't a puzzler last week, but there's going to be maybe a puzzler soon. Anyway, as you regular listeners know, all three of you, I understand there are three. We've checked.
There are no regular listeners.
Well, anyway.
Read my lips.
The puzzler is still on summer vacation. Okay, but we do get postcards.
Here's a postcard from D.C. Dear guys, since I'm in D.C., I should be able to concoct puzzles galore. It reeks of mystery and intrigue here. Miss you all. Signed, the puzzler. And it really is from...
Yeah.
Where? Wait a minute. Hold it here.
Oh, here's one with a real San Diego thing. I guess the puzzle is in San Diego. The weather's here. Wish
what
you were nice.
San Diego thing. Postmark?
Yeah, postmark. San Diego thing. Yeah, San Diego.
Here's
postmark.
A clue here. This one, even though it has a Washington, D.C. picture on it, is postmarked Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Uh-huh.
You know, they were en route. They were on their way back from Washington to wherever.
Yeah.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Okay, 1-800-332-9287. That's the number to call. But really, the puzzler is going to be back next week if we could find it, hopefully, maybe, or certainly the week after that. Or sooner or later, it's going to come back. You ready for a call?
Of course.
You with us?
Want me to read you a little something?
No. It's all right. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Linda.
Where are you from, Linda?
Phoenix.
What's up in
Phoenix?
You don't
sound over 65.
You do.
I am. What's up?
Well, I have this 1985 Plymouth Horizon.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Don't.
That's all I really wanted. I just wanted your reaction when I said that.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I seem to have a lot of electrical problems. I just bought it in May, and I've already put $500 in it.
Okay, what kind of electrical problems have you had?
Well, I replaced the alternator and the regulator, and then I had to replace this little relay switch in the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to replace an H valve in the air conditioner. Well, anyway, it stalls out in the morning. It stalls out anytime the engine is cold. When I first start it and I put it in reverse, I have to give it a lot of gas or else it'll stall out, and it's already caused me to hit one post. And I get very poor gas mileage on it. So I took it in and asked them for a tune-up, and they told me I needed a new computer.
Oh, okay.
So I put the new computer in, and it's still doing the same thing. It still diesels after I turn it off, and it stalls out when the car is cold, when I put it into reverse.
Oh, it does. These people that you took the car into that did this repair, were they the ones from whom you purchased it?
Yes.
I had a... You know, you ever have that sixth sense...
Seventh, even.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling that they've doctored up things, so to speak. Here's my estimation of the whole situation. I'm going to lay it all out for you, Linda.
Oh, is this going to require the district attorney?
Well, I've got some right here in the office.
This is going to require Paul Drake, I think.
Paul Drake. I wonder if you're going to go to Bakersfield, not to Phoenix.
Well, I think what's happening, and the reason you're getting poor mileage, is that the carburetor is flooding out. And it's flooding out, and what tells me that is the fact that you're getting poor mileage, and that it diesels when you turn it off. When you turn the key off, it probably will...
It's just pouring gasoline in there.
And what they've done is they've turned up the idle speed, too, to kind of mask this whole problem. Okay? And the reason it's stalling out even when it's cold, I mean, there could be another reason, which I'll explain in a minute, but it could be stalling out when the engine's first started because it's flooding out even more so. I mean, the choke makes it flood out. And it's supposed to make it run rich, but it's running extra rich because there's something wrong with the carburetor.
It was running rich to begin with.
Right. So that's, and I think what they've done is they've turned up the idle speed in an effort to, you know, mask this whole problem and hope that you move out of town and you have someone else deal with this thing. You know, you're not planning, you didn't tell them you were planning to move, did you? So, but the other things, the electrical problems that you had since May, I mean, the alternator, the regulator, the fan switch, that's all pretty typical stuff. After all, the car's 5 years old. That stuff doesn't last forever.
And after all, it is a Horizon.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it's the same stuff they use in a lot of the other cars. It doesn't last forever in those cars either. So that's not unexpected. So I wouldn't be surprised at that stuff.
And after all, it is a Horizon.
What about that computer stuff?
if a dealership or a repair shop says to you, this is what you need, and then they put it in, and they charge you hundreds of dollars for it, and you have the same problem you had when you came in.
And if they can't talk their way out of it.
Yeah, and if they can't, if they're not slick enough to talk their way out of it, then they're under the obligation to remove the thing and give you back your old one because they didn't fix it. So they got no right to charge you $200 for
even
something that you didn't need.
Like you're crazy, huh?
Huh?
I said, even if they do give you their crazy looks when you come in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Once they tried all the shrugs and the I don't knows and all those things.
Yeah, you got to persevere. Don't let them get away with that stuff.
In the final analysis, if their diagnosis was wrong and they installed a part, they have the obligation to take it out.
Don't forget, when you're dealing with car dealers, that anyone remotely associated with the automotive industry or retailing in general, this is a new twist on this, is by definition a sleazeball unless proven otherwise.
So you should base all of your actions on
that premise.
On that premise, exactly. Good
okay.
luck.
Thanks, you guys.
All righty. Bye.
Thank you a lot.
All right, thanks. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dick Grote from Dallas, Texas.
Hi, hey, Dick. What's
up? How's everything in the Big D?
Wonderful.
What a great city, you know?
It's terrific.
It is.
Let me tell you what I got.
Never been
I got a 1985 Datsun 300ZX.
Datsun?
Yeah, I've never learned to call it a Nissan.
Well, the rest of the world calls them Nissans, but you can call it a Datsun.
It's a Datsun, yeah.
And this week, it turned 5 years old and 60,000 miles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I've always taken real good care of it. I've had to into the Jiffy Lube religiously every 3,000 miles. And I've looked around at new cars, and I've realized I want to keep this thing forever.
Eh, I'll take care of this call. You can go for coffee. Yeah, go ahead, Dick.
How do I take care of a car forever that's 5 years old and 60,000 miles? I talked to my mechanic, and he said something about a timing, change the timing belt. And other than that, do I have to do anything else? Is there anything I should do?
Well, I mean, you do everything you're doing. You look at the owner's manual, and you do all the things it says.
What's this timing belt? Do I need to do that?
Well, have you got a Rolex?
Yeah.
Then you don't need a timing belt.
Well, if you got a Rolex, you'll be able to, when you hawk the Rolex, you'll be able to afford a couple of timing belts.
The timing belt is what connects the crankshaft to the camshaft to tell the valves when to open and close.
Yeah.
And since it's a belt, it can break.
Right.
In fact, it most certainly will break sooner or later.
Why shouldn't I wait for it to break and then replace it?
No, you don't want to wait for
it. You don't want to do that.
You don't want to wait for it to break because I'm not sure about this engine, but it may do damage to the engine if it breaks. There are a lot of cars where when the timing belt breaks, the valves get bent. So you want to replace it.
Hmm.
Other than that, you just want to drive
Other than
it.
That, you're doing exactly the right thing.
Just every 3,000 miles have it looped and...
Well, it's going to get a little more involved than that. I mean, unfortunately, you've survived so far not doing anything because the car is too new to have anything break.
Yeah, I mean, 60,000 miles. I mean, even a Yugo will go 60,000 miles.
Well, when something happens, I fix it. I get it changed out. You know.
Sure.
How long can you reasonably expect the car to last if you do that? If you take good care of it, how long will it go?
I mean, don't you watch television?
No, it isn't the radio.
The Guinness Book of World Records says that
the Mercedes.
The Mercedes has gone 1 million miles.
But let me explain to you, Dick, what happens. Thomas and I have a mutual friend that occasionally, we get all kinds of cars to test drive, and occasionally I'll take him for a ride in these cars. Not occasionally, almost all the time I'll take him for a ride, no matter what the car is. He's always interested to see what Detroit and Japan and whatever have to offer.
Who's this, Pepe?
Yeah, so we go for a ride.
You got to remember, the Pepe's a nut, so we'll put that into perspective.
No, he had a very good observation. And we've driven in everything from Jaguars, Mercedes. And he said recently, I've come to one conclusion. Every car that's new is wonderful. It makes no difference what it is because it doesn't have rattles, the seat isn't ripped, the handles haven't broken off, the radio, as long as stuff works and it's in the right place and it's not a pain in the neck because things haven't become useless, then the car is wonderful. But it's going to cease being wonderful when things like the door handles break off and the seat leans to one side and the stuffing comes out and you get in and the piece of metal is sticking up out of the piping and rips a hole in your $500 suit. It'll cease to be wonderful and then you'll soon want to get rid of it because chasing those things down and restoring the car to its original beauty
wonderfulness
will become an ordeal.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to devote your life, like my brother has to his 74 Chevy, to keep that thing in what's called showroom condition.
No,
bathroom.
Junk room. I'm trying to keep it in junkyard condition.
Go to the junkyard and just look around at all the cars that are there. Every one of those cars at one time was a wonderful brand new car that was the apple of someone's eye. Someone drove that baby out of the dealer's lot and said, I'm going to keep this car forever. And did they? No, they all wound up there, and that's where this thing is going to wind up to. I would just drive. Forget, don't change the oil anymore.
Because you'll as feel, usual, Dick, my brother is all wet.
You'll feel a lot better about junking this thing if the engine's rapping and the blue smoke is pouring out the back in a few miles. So you've done your bit. You took care of a 60K. Now you can just let it slide into oblivion. So you want everything to turn to junk at once.
See, my brother is part of the throwaway mentality. You love this car, and who says you can't continue to love this car? I mean, how long is forever?
I'm going to keep it and call you guys at $120,000.
That's right, 120. You are. You're going to make my brother a liar. You're going to say, yes, it did tear my suit, but the suit was only worth $40 because I stole it out of a Goodwill box anyway because I'm spending all my money keeping the car running.
Good luck, Dick.
Good luck. You can do it.
Send us the pictures.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more calls and the new puzzler after these messages.
Hi, we're back. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. You're listening to NPR's Car Talk, and we're here to answer your questions about cars and car repair in the Jaguar XJS V12 convertible, dark blue.
Hey, where is my Jaguar XJS V12 convertible, parenthesis, dark blue, close parenthesis?
Oh, no, not
Mike.
This again.
Well, where the hell is it? I keep looking.
I didn't tell you?
That some morning I'll step out the door and sitting in my driveway.
Actually, Doug Berman and I have been driving it around for 3.5 weeks now.
I know that Mike will come through.
Yes.
I know he will.
He will indeed. You know, as you regular listeners know, all three of you, the puzzler is on summer vacation. And we actually received some postcards from our dear puzzler, but
they
lost them
here.
They
were too stupid
to read. No, though, they were wonderful.
Oh, I'm sure they were. Yes.
But more important than that, if you have a good puzzler.
A good puzzler.
And you can differentiate a good puzzler from a bad puzzler, because take any of the ones that we use, and those are...
And they got to be better than that.
They're going to be a lot better right. than that. Anyway, if you have one that you would like to share with us and the rest of the four people that listened to us and went up one from the last time, we'd love to have you send it to us.
And actually, if we use one of your puzzlers, it's just as
good... You've got a shot at winning.
It's just as good as winning the puzzler. We will send you a free copy of our book, Car Talk, the book. We might even autograph it. Could we do that? No, we would. Yes, we would.
We would. Yeah, if you send us a usable,
not usable. If you send us one that we use,
right, a good one,
right.
No, yeah, not usable.
Doesn't have to be good.
They're all usable.
As long as we use it, we'll send you a copy of our great book.
And the way you do that is to write to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston,
our fair city,
Massachusetts, 02215, Puzzler Department, urgent.
Hey, by the way, have you noticed the big innovation in gas grills? I don't want to say that I'm responsible for this, but as you know, I have ranted and raved.
Not recently,
but at one time I ranted and raved about the fact that I went to buy a gas grill and they gave me a gas grill kit. 575 pieces and 6 hours later, I had a gas grill. Poor kids didn't eat for a week. Thermos, the guys that make the bottles, Thermos bottles, they make gas grills fully assembled.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but you can get any gas grill fully assembled.
If you pay someone to do it.
Well, you don't think the guys at Thermos are doing it for free?
They're not. Well, I think it's a great breakthrough that this country has managed to produce a product that you don't have to make yourself.
No,
if I wanted to be in the manufacturing business, I would go in the manufacturing business. They're the ones that's supposed to be
only
making gas grills.
Because of wimps and dingalings like you that they have to raise the price of gas grills. Because I can't put anything in there. It's too hot.
What are you talking about? You go to buy something, you expect to bring it home and take it out of the box and use it, not spend your life putting it together. If I wanted to do that, I would go to the hobby shop and buy the visible V8.
Well, that's okay, I guess. Yes,
hey, Thermos, God love you. America, made in America.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Dan and Tammy from Decatur, Indiana.
Both of you?
Yes, we need some marital counseling / arbitration.
Oh, don't worry, we got it all figured out.
From where?
Looking for someone that's fair, knowledgeable, and impartial.
That's us, man.
Well, I knew it. He has a 1985 Pontiac Fiero, and he loves it, and I hate it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I want you to tell him it's a horrible car.
It is. All right, now what?
Well... No, here's the situation. We've got a 85 Fiero. It's got 78,000 miles. I still have the original tires. It has no mechanical problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to...
What was that? Clearing your throat, Tammy? You all right?
Well, it has no mechanical problems.
Well, as of this phone conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
It's had recalls several times.
Okay.
But they take care of those.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory is they're not making them anymore because they're no good.
Well, of course. I mean, if they were making them and everyone loved them, they would certainly continue to make them. They had a lot of problems.
How many times did yours catch fire?
Yeah, people didn't like that little feature. But, they did fix that. But what happens if you bring out a new car and it has sort of devastating little quirks like this, like it bursts into flame... Right away, people lose faith, and it never gets a chance to reach its full potential, one might say.
Capture its share of the market, so to speak.
And so when that happened, they decided to just flick it in. And I don't think it was actually such a bad car, tell you the truth.
You're not supposed to say that.
That's all right. No, you'll have your day in court.
Hey,
probably sooner than you think.
You said you were looking for someone who was impartial.
Right.
Now, Tammy, even though you know that ultimately... I'm going to side with you no matter what the hell your position is.
Oh, good.
I mean, I have to make it look like at least I'm listening to this guy. Okay, so you got this 85 Fiero. Now what's the problem?
The problem is I'd like to keep it, and she thinks that we should be practical and trade it in on something else.
Something with a back seat.
Oh, yeah, that is...
Children.
Yeah. How many in the family currently?
Four.
Oh.
We have two cars.
Oh.
So I figured that I can drive my car, and she can drive hers, and then we need to go someplace with the kids. We take her car.
What's her car?
An 82 Chevy Caprice.
Oh, geez. You know, you're faced with the unenviable task of having to buy two new cars pretty soon.
That's true.
Yeah.
See, I mean, this is
a bad position to be in. You should only have to buy one at a time.
This is a classic problem. Dan and Tammy... don't have this problem in a vacuum, you know? I mean, this is a problem that happens everywhere because men don't seem to understand that there is a 50-50 distribution of work and of responsibility. I mean, there are studies done all the time. And when they say, well, how much of the cooking do you do? Well, the husband says, well, I cooked once in 1971. And now you're saying you will drive your car, Tammy will drive her car, and if you have to go any place that requires more than two people,
we'll drive our car.
We'll take Tammy's car. And if the kids have to go someplace, well, we'll take Tammy's car. So all the lousy stuff gets to be Tammy's car.
No. When they use it as a family, it's our car.
Then it's our car, right.
Right?
The one solution is we should have three cars.
That's what he wants to do, and I said, you're nuts.
Well, he may be nuts, but it is a solution.
True.
Yeah. Now, Tammy, if you had your druthers... what would you drive?
I like my 82 Caprice.
You are perfectly happy with the 82 Caprice.
Oh, you are.
Dan is perfectly happy with the Fiero.
So what's the problem? I don't understand the problem.
The problem is...
when it breaks down, we're stuck at home.
Exactly. When the Caprice breaks down, you have to strap the kids to the roof of the Fiero. And that's a problem.
That is very well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But what you do want, I guess, Tammy, is you want another vehicle that can be a family vehicle. You want a four-seater car.
Right.
Wait a minute now. But how often does it happen that the Chevy breaks down?
Oh, come on.
Never happened.
So, Tammy.
But the likelihood is getting greater and greater. The car's getting older.
Wait a minute now. As much as I wanted to agree with Tammy, no matter what it was she wanted, I mean, I have a basic bias toward women. I was going to side with you, Tammy. I honestly don't see what your complaint is here.
Well,
the Chevy has never broken down, so the problem has never occurred.
All right, then here's what you do. You got to convince Dan to get rid of the Fiero.
I've tried.
Well, if you're going to do it, you've got to convince him with something that's a little bit more attractive. You could consider a Ford Probe, but that's not big enough. You want a four-passenger car. You want something like a Taurus SHO. Wouldn't you love that, Dan?
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
That wouldn't be bad. That'll fit everybody in there.
That wouldn't be bad, Dan?
Oh.
You'd step.
But you still want to keep the dump here?
No. The only way you can get him, let him have a new car is that he gets rid of the Fiero.
Yeah, and it sounds like he's willing to get rid of the Fiero for a Taurus.
Yeah, for a $25,000 Taurus.
Dan, you're too easy.
Well, I'm willing.
Come on, Dan.
Seed and get
Dan.
Something else.
Dan.
But holding on to the Fiero.
Dan.
Because it's going to be worth money someday.
Don't be a
you
wimp.
Never know.
Dan,
it's
this
good.
Car will never be worth any more than it's worth right now.
You really don't think so?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
What, are you talking about before the fire or after?
You know, it's like the Edsel. They don't make them anymore.
Yeah, you know,
no,
why?
It may at some point be worth more.
No, as an investment, the 85 Fiero is not a great idea. I mean, if you really want, looking for an investment, send your money to us. We'll put it in the Click and Clack Capital Depreciation Fund, and you'll do much better than you will with the Fiero.
That's right.
Well,
I'd say that you don't have a problem. Forget about it. Everything is fine. When the Chevy breaks down and you really have a problem, then think about it. Don't proactively work on problems. Life is hard enough that you shouldn't have to worry about the problems before they even happen. A coward dies 1,000 deaths. A hero dies only 900 times.
Yeah.
Dan, I was prepared to shoot you down. And Tammy, I was prepared to help you out, but I don't think your position is tenable.
Well, I'm depressed. But
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. I had to be impartial and honest. And Dan, I expect that check as soon as I get off the wire here.
Thank you very much.
Right. And they say in the trade, Tammy, tough. See you later, folks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Hey, that was a dual call. That was very interesting.
Yeah, they were ganging up on us. Well, you've suffered through another hour, and indeed it was suffering today.
I certainly have. My God.
Of NPR's Car Talk, which is produced by Doug Berman. Our assistant producer is Dawn Jennings, who's actually made a cameo appearance this week.
Yeah, now you notice how the show is running more smoothly since Dawn is back from his big vacation. See all his old girlfriends in KC Mall.
Ken Rogers is dean of the Department of Auto Musicology and, of course, our engineer. Our technical advisor is John Bugsy Lawler. We haven't seen him in about 10. I think he's on extended vacation.
But we haven't had any technical problems.
That's true. Our staff disciplinarian is Les Stern. Our staff grammarian is I Am Shirley Wright. Our chief legal counsel, of course, is Hugh Lewis Dewey of the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, known to his friends as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers, in case you hadn't noticed.
What about Mr. Gigi and your hair?
If you'll notice.
What about Natalie Attire?
If you'll notice.
Did they get fired?
If you'll notice, Gigi hasn't been here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.